Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We bring some friend of the show has been kind enough to kind of keep us up to speed on the news and the news as it pertains to sports. He is GO3's Jay Crawford, longtime friend. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Jay.
Guys, how are you?
Longtime friend, man. That makes me feel really old saying that. I just want you to know that. Very, very old. All right, so we've got a bunch of topics that are kind of floating around right now. Major League Baseball's got a 67-page proposal about how to get these guys back out on the field. With all kinds of precautions. You know, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier in the show. At some point, you say to yourself, man, there's a lot of things going on here. I wonder if we're not pushing this a little too fast with trying to get back to baseball. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think there's probably something to that for sure. You know, there's so many different angles to look at. What about players that have pre-existing conditions? Family members, what are you going to do to keep everybody safe? So, you know, I don't know how they can put this plan together in such a short manner of time, but yeah, there probably is some rush to it for sure.
They're moving it back in a hurry, it seems, Jay, and that's okay. I don't have any issues with that, but, and I also don't have any issues with bringing it back without fans. You know, there's things that we can do right now, and if one of them is to put a product on the field where you have the safety precautions in place for the players and everybody else, and enough testing done where you're confident that everybody's okay, I don't have an issue with bringing things back without the fans because I don't know that we have much of a choice. If we wait till fans are able to come back, we could be a year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd rather have baseball with empty stadiums. At least games are being televised and consumers have something to watch than no baseball at all. It won't be the same. I watched some of the NASCAR race over the weekend and it was bizarre. I mean, after I think Kenseth won the race, after he won, you know, typically they do their burnouts and then they jump on the hood of their car and the place is going nuts. And it was, you know, as if he had won the race in my cul-de-sac. It was bizarre.
He did, Jay.
You know?
He did.
I thought I heard a lot of cars buzzing around there Sunday. So now imagine, guys, a team sport where, you know, you hear the crack of the bat and the roar of the crowd as the ball goes over the fence, and that all adds to the experience and the ambiance of the game. Now imagine a guy, you know, hitting a walk-off home run in the 11th inning to absolute silence.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll hear you'll hear one dugout erupt and you'll hear every word said, you know, on the field between pitcher and hitter, if there are any. It's going to be really weird, but you know what? It's better than what I'm experiencing right now, which is, you know, games from the Indians 22 game winning streak. I know how these games end. It's not fun.
Hey, Jay, let's kind of dive into the news as we've been able to kind of get society back up to speed very slowly here. What's the feeling on that and how, you know, it's been nice to be able to go to a restaurant and sit outside, but as we move forward, you got the governor saying stuff like, you better watch out your social distancing here at these bars on the outdoor patios, otherwise you might lose your liquor license. Where do you think we are as far as, you know, just being a couple days into this, and where are we going?
Well, if anyone thought that you were going to drop the starting gate and all of these businesses and their patrons were going to be 100% respectful of the guidelines and there was going to be absolutely no incursion of any of these restrictions, you're crazy. You have pent people in their homes for more than 2 months, you know, going on 3 months. And then the starter pistol fires, and, you know, was anybody actually surprised with what happened Saturday? I'm actually surprised that we didn't see it on a larger scale, to be quite honest. You know, there were a few areas here locally where patrons weren't following the guidelines. And I'm glad I don't own one of these establishments, and it isn't my responsibility to try to keep everybody 6 feet apart. I mean, it's just it's almost undoable. What the governor is asking for, rightfully so, is for everybody just to respect what the social distancing guidelines are. And, you know, I saw pictures, we all saw them, and video over the weekend of folks congregating in ways that, you know, doesn't conform to what the governor is looking for. It's been fascinating to watch from a legal standpoint as these states have reopened, some in part, some are completely shut down. The legal system is clearly siding on the side of civilians and not government, as these one state's restrictions after another have been overturned by higher courts, basically saying that, you know, these restrictions are in violation of people's liberties. So, you know, we've never had a situation like this before. I see both sides very plainly. I understand why the government is taking all the precautions that they are. And I also understand why people want to go about living their lives. And in many cases, it's not just about going out and living their lives. It's about getting back to their livelihood. People want to work. Although I will say I'm a little disappointed at the number of people. There was a survey that was released yesterday that showed 66% of the people don't want to go back because they're actually enjoying their free check through July, through the month of July. And that's a little disappointing. I would think that more people would want to go back and actually earn that money than have a handout. But I get both sides. I really do. This is a situation that we've never seen ourselves in before. And there's going to be spikes. I mean, look, we were closed for the last 10 weeks, and we were still experiencing 600 cases a day. I was still blown away by that. How in the world are we having 600 new cases a day when we've supposedly been 95% shut down? So is anybody going to be surprised that after a week of being open, we don't see at least a temporary spike in those numbers? Of course we are. People are mingling again. So I think that's an inevitability. And I think at some point there has to be someone at a higher pay grade than me, and thankfully I don't have to make this decision, but at some point, collectively on a macro scale, U.S., and individually on a micro, state by state, city by city, people are going to have to make really tough decisions, knowing that more people are going to die, but also knowing that you can't just keep society shut forever.
Jay Crawford joining us. Jay, as sports guys, we all know, you know, stats can be interpreted any way you want them in some cases, and you can use stats to make an argument. I got to tell you, I look at the numbers that are coming out with everything with the virus, and I can't tell if they're being used to promote a cause, if they're being to a viewpoint. I'm having a difficult time figuring all that out. Are the numbers going in the right direction from what everybody at Channel 3 has been able to gather and all the news folks? Or are the numbers just, and you just mentioned, you know, the new cases despite being shut down, are the numbers just not doing anything?
Well, that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. It is so difficult to try to get a handle on numbers. I will assure you of this. There are entities that are manipulating numbers, whether that's underreporting cases or overreporting cases. As I've read about the guidelines for reporting deaths, each state has a different definition. some have a definition, died due to COVID-19 complications. Others are counting deaths that died with COVID-19. So they had tested positive. They died from something other than the virus after they had been diagnosed. So the death is being counted as a COVID death. Some states are doing it that way. Some states are not. In some cases, some states have reported as many as 20% more deaths than they should have counted. We're also learning that in states like New York and New Jersey, the deaths in nursing homes were woefully underreported. And so that is perhaps, I'm not making an allegation, I'm just trying to connect some dots. That might be as a result of the states coming under increased pressure for their decisions to send COVID-19 positive patients back into those nursing homes, which put our most vulnerable population at risk. The one thing we knew about early on the virus was that elderly folks are far more likely to die from COVID-19 than those under, say, 70. The vast majority of deaths are over 60, in the 93 percentile range. So these decisions to send COVID-19 positive senior citizens back into their senior care centers was like pouring gasoline on a fire. So those deaths were woefully underreported and are just now catching up, primarily because the narrative that tells was one of a huge mistake on behalf of government. The last thing that they should have been doing is sending those patients back in to a population that is most vulnerable to die from COVID-19. Anywhere from 30 to 40% of the deaths in New Jersey and New York are from senior care facilities. So, yep, your question is a great one. I think the numbers are being manipulated for political reasons, which is just nauseating to me.
Yep.
I think it's being done on both sides, and I don't know what to believe. I really don't. And I think I hope that we learn from this and that it's stunning to me that we can't get accurate count. Now, the other thing, too, so your initial question was, are the numbers going in the right direction? Well, people have to take into account that over this pandemic, over the last 11 weeks, Ohio has gone from testing in the hundreds every day to in the thousands every day. We've vastly, vastly increased our capacity to conduct testing. So it only stands to reason that those numbers would go up. I feel that the reporting of these numbers from the states could be more beneficial to the consumer, to us, in the news media, so we could pass them on to you watching. What does it mean? These numbers are apples and oranges. We're giving total number of positive tests every day, and we're seeing how those have gone up, and now they've come down, and they've sort of plateaued. Well, I want to know percentage of tests given every day, what percentage of those are positive, because that's the orange-to-orange comparison. So in other words, on March 5th, if we only did 500 tests, but there were 200 positives, and then on May 5th, we did 15,000 tests and there's 500 positives, you can see the correlation and what a difference that is. And that's what I want to know. What percent of these that are being tested are actually coming back positive? And I can't seem to find those numbers anywhere. I don't know. I don't even know if they exist, if anybody's even crunching those numbers. But to me, the governor's guideline of 14 days of descending cases, well, that may never happen because we keep testing more and more people every day. So how is the number of positives going to go down if your sample size is constantly going up? It's a real conundrum.
That's interesting. Jay, I'm just curious, have you guys done anything with youth sports and just how they're, you know, trying to get back to that and these non-contact sports and, you know, even the thought of contact sports as we head towards the fall and schools? And, not even to dig to another subject, but I mean, I wonder what schools are going to look like in the fall because, I mean, we've got a lot of school districts that are losing money in the state. There's a lot of money that isn't going to be going into schools because of what's going on now.
Yeah, I have heard preliminary discussions about youth sports starting back up, and I know the kind of, you know, pie-in-the-sky date is June 1st, where folks are starting to, you know, think about, you know, what kind of season can we put together if we begin in middle of June, or even if it's as late as July. It would be better to have any sort of a season instead of none. Right. On the sports thing, yesterday, and I'm glad we didn't report this news, you know, smart people are coming up with guidelines that are head-scratching and make no sense to me. I don't know if you guys saw the tennis restrictions. Literally, guys, part of the tennis restrictions was you can play tennis, just don't touch the ball with your hand. Wait, what? I mean, how are you going to serve? You know, I understand that there's a fear if it's on your hand and then you hit the ball with the racket and it goes to the other, to your opponent, and then he grabs the ball that now perhaps he is, you know, look, if that's a concern, then just say no tennis. You can't play tennis. But this right. idea that you can play tennis but don't touch the ball with your hand, that's insane. That's like telling someone that you can play baseball but you're not allowed to touch the ball with your hand. You know, how about you just play soccer? If that's all that, you know, I just don't get it. I don't get how some of these restrictions are coming out. I hope that they're using science for all of it. I really, really do. Because I think at this point, Jeff, you had made a point earlier about the numbers and everything. And I heard an interesting analogy about initially our goal was to flatten the curve. We were told initially, guys, you got to shut everything down. Schools are canceled. Jobs are off. Everybody's going home. And we have to flatten this curve. We cannot let this accelerate out of control, which right. I was all for. I absolutely was in favor of that. And we have done that. The curve has been flattened. But the analogy I heard was it's almost as if it's a balloon. And you now start putting pressure on the top of the balloon. The balloon is going to start now to get oblong, which is the shape of our graph now. It's oblong. But there's no real data or science or evidence to say that if you do that, that you're still not going to incur the same number of deaths that you would have. It's just going to be over a longer period of time. And if that's the case, then we have prolonged our shutdown and our closures for a very long period of time instead of perhaps just taking it head on, full force, letting herd immunity take control and see if we can just weather the storm and get back to some sort of normalcy. I think the only good news that I can really relay to you guys is this initial study, the phase one of the remdesivir study, that shows, actually it wasn't remdesivir, the other drug, name escapes me right now, has gone through phase one. 45 participants, 15, three groups of 15, they were given different dosages of this drug, and all 45 showed that they developed the antibodies to ward off the coronavirus. Now it goes to phase two. Now we'll go to 600 subjects, and we will probably see various dosages in those groups, and we'll see how they respond. And if we can get through phase two of that and have it, I mean, phase one was a 100% success. If we can get through phase two, which I believe takes 28 days, and you can have a similar success, I believe at that point the medical community would breathe a huge sigh of relief, because that then would pretty much ensure that this thing is both safe and effective, and then we can start administering it to our population. Now, granted, you got to immunize 350 million or 370 million Americans, and that's going to take some time. You would start, obviously, with the population that's most vulnerable, But at least that would give us hope that this thing isn't going to linger into a second spring and a second fall. Because I mean, as it is, if this thing goes into fall, the damage that's going to be done will be irreparable to universities, to hospitals, to schools, colleges, and college sports as we know it. If you don't have a college football season, the face of college sports will be as radically changed as it ever has in the last since in its existence. It'll cease to exist as we know it.
Jay, thank you very much. Always appreciate it. And we're watching on Channel 3 as well. But we always appreciate all the insight every week. And we look forward to talking to you next week, too. Thanks, Jay.
Always good, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Jay Crawford from Channel 3, nice enough to join us. Kind of give us the update on, you know, what's going on from a news perspective and especially how it applies to sports, too. So,
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.